is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Monday, February 2nd, I'm Jeff Bosser. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News. We'll also check your forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. Rod Blagojevich may have been removed as Illinois' governor, but as Amanda Venegy reports, some of the senators who voted him out of office say that's not enough.
Frank Watson, a state senator from Greenville, says Blagojevich's removal is a good thing for the people of Illinois. But he says the investigation must go deeper to find out who else was involved with the administration's policies and needs to be fired.
I mean, we've got the number one guy, but there's other people in levels of responsibility that need to go before I think the public trust will be available to us again.
Watson wouldn't specifically say who he's talking about, but it's clear that some Blagojevich advisors and appointees may soon be looking for work. New Governor Pat Quinn says he'll evaluate and review employees' performance.
You know, anybody who's working now should do their job diligently with integrity, and we'll go forward.
Quinn promises an orderly transition, even though he says Blagojevich wasn't cooperative. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Shortly before his removal, Blagojevich appointed a close ally, former State Representative Kirk Granberg, as the new director of the Department of Natural Resources. The promotion gets Granberg a higher salary and a pension bump. Critics say Blagojevich was just doing a favor for a friend. It's likely Granberg will be one of the first Blagojevich hires to go. Governor Quinn says he wants a natural resources professional in the job. Illinois' last statewide construction program was passed in the late 90s when George Ryan was governor. So new Governor Pat Quinn is hoping to get a plan in place by the summer. Todd Fuhr has that story.
Quinn says the state is facing a serious crisis, and he hopes to get a construction plan in place by summer to repair or replace crumbling roads and bridges and improve mass transit. His predecessor Rod Blagojevich and state lawmakers could never reach an agreement on an infrastructure program during his 6 years in office. But House Republican leader Tom Cross says he's hopeful everyone can come together now that Blagojevich is gone and Quinn is governor.
Well, I think the chances improve greatly and have improved greatly because I think I see us as starting over. So I'm hopeful that we can get this accomplished in the next, the next couple months at the latest. I think we need to move quickly.
Cross says he met with Quinn last week and they talked about the state's needs in general terms. Cross says he hasn't seen any specific proposals yet, so it's too soon to know exactly how much money would be needed for construction or how to pay for it. I'm Todd Fuhrer.
5 days after he was ousted from the Illinois governor's office, Rod Blagojevich will appear on The Late Show with David Letterman Tuesday. CBS said yesterday that Blagojevich would appear on the New York-based late-night talk show tomorrow night. It will be the former governor's first late-night interview since he was removed from office by a 59-0 vote of the Senate on Thursday. Blagojevich faces federal corruption charges that include trying to auction off Barack Obama's old U.S. Senate seat. Federal prosecutors are expected to indict him by April. A call Sunday to Blagojevich's publicist seeking comment was not immediately returned. Today is the one-year anniversary of the attack at a suburban Chicago Lane Bryant store that left 5 women dead. The killings rocked the quiet Chicago suburb of Tinley Park. Since then, investigators have spent 30,000 hours combing through 5,600 tips, and they've worked closely with the sole survivor of the shooting, whose identity police have kept secret. A police sketch of the gunman has been displayed on electronic billboards in the Chicago area, and there's still a $100,000 reward for information. Still, there's been no arrest. Today, the clothing store is virtually untouched since the day of the shootings because it's still an active crime scene. The Lane Bryant sign has been removed, and the windows are covered with black material. Collecting DNA could become almost as common for police as collecting fingerprints under a bill making its way through Indiana's Senate. Senate Bill 24 would allow police to collect DNA from anyone arrested on a felony charge rather than just those who are convicted. Fort Wayne's Journal-Gazette reports that supporters say adding that DNA to state and federal databases could help solve crimes and potentially prevent them. That's because repeat offenders could be caught earlier before they commit more crimes. But opponents say extending DNA testing so widely is an unconstitutional invasion of privacy. A 2-year project aims to use electronic media to bring basic information to people living below the poverty line in the Champaign-Urbana area. But those residents will get to be more than just a passive audience. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Professor Brent Houston is Knight Chair Professor in Investigative and Enterprise Reporting at the University of Illinois Department of Journalism. And the same Knight Foundation that endows his chair is providing $100,000 for this project aimed at Champaign-Urbana's low-income residents. It's spearheaded by the Marriage and Civic Foundation, owner of the News-Gazette. Houston says they're looking at cell phones with texting features as one way to reach people who can't afford other media.
A lot of news and information in China is delivered through cell phones. We certainly know that most people have a cell phone now, varies in the amount of complexity, but we feel the technology is going to move forward, so that's going to be one way to get to people.
And Houston says the cameras in those same cell phones can be tools for citizen journalists who take pictures of people and events to be compiled on an interactive website. Bilingual radio and TV broadcasts might also be part of the project. Houston says the project will involve journalism professionals at the News Gazette and journalism faculty and students at the U of I. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
For the latest newscast online, go to WILL.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. If you could learn certain ostensibly private information about a national hero, would you be interested? The law, for the most part, expects that you would be. And that brings commentator Amy Guida back to the day in January when a plane landed in the Hudson River. Here's this week's legal issues in the news.
Pity our heroes. I say this because I've just learned Chesley Sullenberger's grades and his IQ scores. You'll recall that Sullenberger was the pilot who landed the U.S. Airjet in the Hudson River. All passengers and crew survived, and many called Sullenberger a hero. And even though as I write this, Sullenberger has avoided the limelight, his herodom is when the trouble started. Trouble, as in the release of a school transcript from long, long ago containing Sullenberger's grades and IQ results. We have every right to have an interest in our heroes, as a very influential law institute puts it in a very influential law publication known as the Restatement. And so when Fox News received Sullenberger's transcript and IQ scores, it published them. The grades that Fox reported were in the 99th percentile, and the IQ scores that Fox reported is worthy of the organization for geniuses known as Mensa had been sent accidentally. Apparently, the school meant to send only Sullenberger's school photos, not his school record. Here's how the restatement puts the law. There are individuals who have not sought publicity or consented to it, but through their own conduct or otherwise have become a legitimate subject of public interest, and publishers are permitted to satisfy the curiosity of the public as to its heroes, leaders, villains and victims, and those who are closely associated with them. Yikes. Just to give you a couple of examples, back when President Ford was in office, a man saved Ford from an assassination attempt. When newspapers reported that the man was gay, he sued on invasion of privacy grounds. But a California court decided that such coverage was newsworthy, given that the man was a hero and all. Among other reasons, the court wrote, his bravery helped disprove the stereotype that gay men were, and I'm quoting here, timid, weak, and unheroic. The hero's privacy concerns mattered less than what the court felt would be best for the greater public's education. There's another example. Several newspapers once reported the grade point averages of players on the University of Maryland men's basketball team. Heroes only in the broadest sense of the word, I'll grant you. But a court found that such an article couldn't be the basis of a privacy lawsuit, since the GPAs of those student-athletes, some of them as low as 1.1 and 1.24, not only helped quantify the university's attempt to encourage scholastic success, but also helped show which players might be in danger of losing eligibility due to low grades, both of which the court decided were of great public interest. The school that accidentally sent Sullenberger's records asked Fox to remove them from its website, but Fox refused. Putting ethics aside, maybe that's the right call in a news sense. I can't say that I wasn't interested in how he'd done in school. It's also likely what any lawyer would have counseled Fox in a legal sense. Pity our heroes. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. In the forecast for the region, increasing clouds today, the high around 32 degrees. Wind gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Mostly cloudy tonight, a 30% chance of light snow. The low 14. Mostly cloudy Tuesday, a chance of light snow showers, colder, the high around 22, mostly cloudy. Tuesday night, the low around 8, mostly sunny. Wednesday, the high around 22 degrees, mostly clear. Wednesday evening, the low around 15. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, February 2nd, Groundhog Day. And by the way, Punxsutawney Phil did see his shadow today. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wyll.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.